Poto, who was wearing an apron and clopping one leg at around the table, collecting dirty dishes, looked up and whispered, "Mother Moonlight, she's pretty." The brothers got no such compliments, but they felt handsome in their royal clothes. Kalmar needed no coat since he was already covered with silvery brown fur. Instead, he wore a black leather vest lined with blood-red fabric, fastened down the front with shiny silver buttons, each of which bore the Aneirin dragon, the same insignia Janner had seen on Uncle Artham's journals back in Glipwood. Nia draped a black cloak over his shoulders and fastened it at the neck with a silver sun. She tried to put a crown on Cal's head, not an official Aneirin crown, she told them, but something she had commissioned from a smith in Banrona, a circlet that would at least make him look kingly enough for the ceremony. But after several failed attempts to secure it over his wolf ears, which constantly twitched, Nia decided to forego the crown, much to Kalmar's relief. Finally, Janner was given a black coat of polished leather, with boots and gloves to match. When he pulled the gloves on and wiggled his fingers, he noticed on the back of each hand the same Aneirin dragon stitched into the leather with crimson thread. "Here," Nia said, as she draped a black cloak over Janner's shoulders. He noticed when she drew near to fasten his brooch, which was in the shape of a crescent moon, that instead of looking up at her, they were eye to eye. "When did you get so tall?" Nia asked quietly. She adjusted his cloak and her hands lingered on his shoulders. "You look like a throne warden, tall and handsome and humble. Keep an eye on Kalmar today. This ceremony is exactly the kind of thing he loathes." Janner glanced at Cal, who was hunched over the table, brushing crumbs from breakfast into a little pile, then licking them up. "Kalmar!" Nia snapped, and he jerked upright and wiped his hands on his cloak. "Kalmar!" Nia said again, and he grabbed a napkin from the table and cleaned his hands and cloak with a nervous laugh. "Kalmar!" Nia said, snatching the napkin from him. He hadn't noticed that it was soiled with sweetberry jam, jam that was now smeared all over his new cloak and his hands, which he absent-mindedly wiped on his vest. "Out!" Nia ordered. Janner bustled Kalmar and Lili through the door, where Oscar and Retief waited with the sled hitched and ready. Cal bounded into the wagon. "In the words of Chancho Fenor, you three look magnificent. Is that sweetberry jam?" Oscar pointed at Kalmar's cloak. Somehow, even though his face was covered in fur, Cal's cheeks seemed to flush as he reached down and lifted Lili in behind him. Janner clambered up the other side. "It's going to be a fine day, Jules." Oscar clicked the horse into motion and pulled his scarf over his mouth. He was already a big fellow, but the many layers of coats, cloaks, and blankets made him look enormous. All Janner could see of the old man was his bright red nose and spectacles peeking out from between the scarf and his cowl. The rest of him was a mountainous pile of blankets. After an hour of riding through the snow, they crested the hill and saw what seemed to be the entire population of the Green Hollows, gathered around the perimeter of the Field of Finley. Out of the silence of the long ride came the sudden racket of the multitude, the whinny of horses, the snapping of many flags in the wind. The aroma of campfires mingled with that of meat roasting on spits and the odor of horse manure. Each tribe had erected its own main tent and surrounded it with smaller ones, between which were wagons, horses, and campfires. Thousands of Hollows folk stood in groups around the fires. Others had struck up games and were rolling in the snow or chasing one another out beyond the tents. But the center of the Field of Finley was immaculate, a smooth circular blanket of white as long and wide as an arrow shot. Not a single footprint marred the snow, though the path around it was muddied with traffic. At a section of the field nearest the road, a platform had been erected, and a man standing beside it raised a hand in greeting when he saw the wing feathers. Even at a distance, Janner recognized the tall, bearded figure of Rudrick, Keeper of the Hollows. Janner felt a tug of grief. Rudrick hadn't meant to kill his father, Janner knew that, but it didn't make the pain or the awkwardness disappear, for either Janner or for Rudrick, who had scarcely been seen at Chimney Hill in the month since Esben's death. Rudrick was a good man, and Janner liked him, but he had become an emblem of his father's absence. Janner couldn't imagine how Nia must feel, Nia, who had been in love with Rudrick up to the very day that Esben returned. Oscar grunted.
"Right. Well, as some author surely said somewhere, we'd better get on with it."
He drove the sled down to the platform and greeted Rudrick. "Oscar, good to see you," Rudrick said. He extended a hand to Lili, who took it after slight hesitation, and allowed him to lift her out of the wagon and lower her gently to the ground. Then Rudrick nodded a greeting to Janner and Cal, though he only met their eyes for a moment. "This way, Wingfeathers. It's going to be a long day, but this is important if we're going to be an army worthy of battle."